Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of Chapter 10 out of the National Academy of Sports Medicine's Essentials of Personal Fitness Training. My name is Eddie Lester, here to take you through the PowerPoint lecture for Chapter 10, or Balanced Training Concepts. So let's go ahead and click over to Slide 2. After this presentation, the participant will be able to define balance and describe its role in performance and injury risk, discuss the importance of balanced training, design a progressive balance training program for clients in any level of training, perform, describe, and instruct various balance training exercises. So, clicking over to slide 3, the importance of balance. Maintaining balance is a key to all functional movements. Often thought of as a static process, balance is actually going to be static and dynamic. So when you walk forward, that is going to be a dynamic movement that requires balance. If you weren't to have balance while you're moving forward, you might fall over to the right or fall over to the left. But also, most people, when they think of balance training, they think of, oh, let's stand on one foot and that is going to be our balance. In all reality, though, you need to also train balance in movement too. For instance, doing a forward walking lunge up to balance and then stepping to the next step. Moving forward and forward and forward with a balance element is a great way to introduce balance, not only statically, but dynamically as well. So to read the last bullet point on slide number 3, the ability to reduce force at the right joint, at the right time, and in the right plane of motion requires optimum levels of functional dynamic balance and neuromuscular efficiency. Good, so moving over to slide 4, balance training should constantly stress an individual's limit of stability. So when we talk about balance training, you never want to make balance training easy to balance, because then you aren't really getting the adaptation you need to improve someone's balance. So when they talk about stressing the limit of stability, they talk about stressing the balance threshold, or how unbalanced you can be until you fall over. And the best thing to do is to put someone in an environment that they aren't used to, get them to practice their balance, and eventually that's going to become easier and easier and easier for them until it's really not stressing their limit of stability anymore, in which you need to progress them further. So to read the second bullet point on the slide number 4, limit of stability, the distance outside of the base of support that he or she can go without losing control of his or her center of gravity. And that's going to be your limit of stability. So if I'm going to do a squat, a single leg squat, and I go nice and low, but then I can't quite stay balanced and I fall over, that's beyond my limit of stability. If I practice that continuously, I'm going to get better at it and eventually be able to do that exercise, like a single leg squat, a low squat, or something like a pistol squat, which is a single leg squat all the way to the ground. And once I perfect that, then it's going to be inside of my limit of stability, and I'm going to need to improve progress that in order to make it outside of my limit of stability to make that a exercise that I can benefit from. So to read the third bullet point on slide number 4, this threshold must be constantly stressed in a multiplanar, proprioceptively enriched environment using functional movement patterns. And just really quickly to touch on proprioceptively enriched environment, they're talking about enforcing that limit of stability. So proprioception is your body's awareness of itself in space, or all of your sensory information. And balance is really going to test and push that proprioceptive, bar, raise that bar. So clicking over to slide 5, balance mechanism, continuing on. Proprioceptively enriched environments are unstable yet controllable environments. They must use appropriate progressions to correct technique at varying speeds to facilitate maximal sensory input to the central nervous system. So what they're talking about is, with a proprioceptive progression, you have the floor, which is just a basic floor that's not too difficult. Then you have a balance beam, which is a skinnier floor, a half a foam roll, followed by a AirX pad, and then a DynaDisc. And these are all going to be progressions, or increasing your proprioceptive challenge, more or less. And specifically, one thing to note is that NASM on the test wants to ask you about what is the progression after the half a foam roll in balance training. And that's going to be the AirX pad. So just a good thing to note right there and take notes on. Clicking over to slide 6, benefits of balance training. A simple test question is, they ask you, give an example, what does balance training do? Well, it improves dynamic joint stabilization, and specifically the ability of the kinetic chain to stabilize the joint during movement. Dynamic means movement, and joint stabilization means stabilizing that joint as you move. So what does balance training do? What are the benefits of it? It improves dynamic joint stabilization. So hopefully that's something easy to associate with balance training, is joint stabilization, because that will be on the test. So the main goal of balance stabilization is to the main goal for balance stabilization exercises, which is another test question that they like to try to trick and throw at you, they're going to change up the way that they state what balance training benefits. And balance stabilization exercises, one of the goals is to improve reflexive muscle contractions. And what they mean by that is the ability of your nervous system to contract the right muscles to stay upright. For instance, if I'm leaning over to the right-hand side, I'm going to need to contract my left oblique and it's called a reflexive muscle contraction. Reactive muscle contraction. I'm going to need to contract that left oblique to crunch me over to the side to try to counterbalance me from falling over on my right side. So clicking over to slide 7. So why are we doing balanced training programs? Well, one of the main reasons is to prevent injury. And specifically to read the bullet point, muscle imbalances, joint dysfunctions, pain, and swelling can lead to altered balance. So if we get injured, we have worse balance. And specifically, 80% of the adult population has low back pain. We want that being really good at balance could prevent a situation in which we move and create some sort of muscle spasm or pain in that low back. 80 to 100,000 ACL injuries occur annually, and NASM likes to talk about that a lot because with a proper balance training program, you can prevent ACL injuries. More than 2 million ankle sprains occur every year, and ankle sprains are the most common sports-related injury, as most people are running and rolling their ankle or hurting their ankle, and a balance training program can also prevent ankle sprains. So thus, the majority of clients that fitness professionals work with may have decreased neuromuscular efficiency and balance. Therefore, it is important to train balance within a client's program. So looking over to slide 8, they get into balance and joint dysfunction. So joint dysfunction is going to be caused by tight muscles causing injury or further injury to that joint. So what they talk about here on slide number 8 is a figure that shows joint dysfunction comes from muscle inhibition caused by joint injury, and joint injury leads to swelling, which alters the ability of the nervous system to properly sense the balance mechanism in and around that joint, which is altered proprioception. So clicking over to slide 9, balance training effects on injury, it is pretty much proven, and there has been research studies in and around this, which you can read in your book. And specifically, balance exercises are a frequent component of integrated ACL injury prevention programs, which have shown promise in reducing the rate of ACL injuries. So specifically to read about one study, on the basis of a recent systematic review, balance training programs that are performed for at least 10 minutes a day, 3 times a week for 4 weeks, appear to improve both static and dynamic balance and reduce the risk of ACL injury. So clicking over to slide 10, exercise selection, whenever we design a program, and specifically a balanced program, you want it to be safe, progressive, and proprioceptively challenging. And specifically progressive, we want it to be easy to hard, or going from easier, like standing on a single leg on the floor, to then standing on a single leg on a balance pad. That's going to be easier to harder. Simple to complex, known to unknown, an exercise that they know they're going to be more familiar with than an unknown one, and then a static to dynamic. Standing still is a lot easier than moving, so progression. And then proprioceptively challenging, once again, we go over the floor is going to be easier than a balance beam, which is going to be easier than a half foam roll, which is going to be easier than an AirX pad. And specifically, what comes after that half a foam roll? Well, it's right there. Looking over at slide 11, so variables. Within balance training, you want to make sure that you train all planes of motion, and one other important thing that a lot of trainers leave out is all ranges of motion. And when you have a balanced strength exercise, you're going to be potentially doing like a single leg squat or some sort of single leg Romanian deadlift or bent over something when you're bending and moving your single leg balance, that is balanced. And you can do that full range of motion, which is very difficult, partial range of motion, which is a little easier, or just even the end range of motion, which is just a small movement within that range of motion. So a lot of trainers typically just do, okay, just do a little bit end range of motion, a little small little balance, like, oh, stand on one leg and slowly sit down in that chair behind you. That's going to be a partial range of motion, not quite full range of motion, in which a full range of motion would be a full squat or what's called a pistol squat. And clicking over to slide 12, there are three levels of training within the National Academy of Sports Medicine's OPT model. So remember, you have stabilization, you have strength, and you have power. Those are your three phases or stages. And when progressing balanced training exercises, go from stabilization to strength, and then from strength to power. And once again, the same thing occurs when you regress exercises. So if on the test they say, hey, what's a regression from a single leg or no, from a lunge to balance, you want to know that that lunge to balance is a balanced strength exercise. And if there's going to be a balanced stabilization exercise located on the answer sheet, you know that that's going to be regressed because strength is going to be harder than stabilization phase training. So specifically to read that, when you regress, or the same goes for regressing. The single leg lift and chop is a balance stabilization exercise, which is easier than a balance strength exercise. Good. Moving over to slide number 13, exercises involve little joint motion and are designed to improve reflexive joint stabilization contractions to improve joint stability. We're talking about balanced stabilization exercises. And when I look at balanced stabilization exercises, I think of the leg not moving in the sense that they're standing on one leg and they might be, you know, catching a tennis ball or lifting, doing a bicep curl or doing a lateral raise for shoulders. But that leg is not moving. That's going to be a balanced stabilization exercise when the body or when the leg does not bend. The knee does not bend or the hip does not bend. So when the body is placed in an unstable environment, it must react by contracting the right muscles at the right time to maintain balance. So for some people, a single leg balance might be very difficult. For instance, in your senior populations, which balance training is very effective for, in your senior populations, standing on one leg might be very, very difficult. So that would be outside of someone's limit of stability, whereas in the younger population, standing on one leg, you know, people could do it for 20, 30 minutes all day if they wanted. So moving to the next slide, we have slide 14, balanced strength exercises. We have more dynamic eccentric and concentric movement through a full range of motion. So within this, look at her knee currently in the bottom of this slide. She is bending over and bending the hip and bending the knee. That is going to be a balanced strength exercise. So it's going to require dynamic control or movement control in a mid-range of motion with isometric stabilization at the end range of motion. So doing a tempo of 4-2-1, she's going to be going down for 4 seconds, doing a 2-second pause in the position which she's in, and then coming up for 1 second. And that's what they're talking about with the mid-range of motion and the end range of motion. So looking at balanced power exercises, I'm moving over to slide 15. Balanced power exercises develop high levels of eccentric strength, dynamic neuromuscular efficiency, and reactive joint stabilization. So anytime that you have an exercise that is a single leg hop, that's going to be a balanced power exercise. But typically they don't really ask about balanced power exercises on the actual test. All right, moving over to slide 16, implementing a balanced program. Obviously, you have your stabilization level or phase one, you have your strength level, which is phases 2-4, and then you have your power level. Choose appropriate exercises based off of what phase you're currently training your client in. And then over to slide 17, you have your acute variables for programming balance training, and you can use these when programming a specific balance segment of their workout. But typically I would just stick to the stabilization, strength, or power phase that I'm currently in. For instance, in stabilization, you know, your reps are 12 to 20. It shows right there 12 to 20. So that's what I would use either way. All right. And to summarize everything or move over to the last slide, a balanced training program is designed to ensure optimum neuromuscular efficiency of the entire kinetic chain. Balanced training programs must be systematic and progressive, following specific guidelines, proper exercise selection criteria, and detailed program variables. And a proper balance training program follows the same systematic progression as the OPT model. Once again, stabilization to strength, and then strength to power. So with this chapter, there's going to be about 5 questions on the test. And it's important to understand that a lot of them are going to be around the types of exercises and or just some of the basics on the definitions of balance or the limit of stability or the what the benefits of a certain balance training is, or what the benefits of balance training are, or what balance training is for. Good. So go ahead and finish or head on over to the audiobook lecture to complete the read along with the book and complete the assignment and quiz. And I look forward to seeing you at the next chapter.